Good morning, and welcome to BKNW, and thank everyone for coming. We've been assured that the fire marshal does not work on Memorial Day. Rabbi Leibowitz really likes hakdamos, introductions to Svarim. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in the hakdama to his latest sefer on Maseches Horios, a masech that deals with the immense responsibility of Jewish leadership, cites the vision of leadership illustrated by Edmund Burke, an 18th century British philosopher. Burke said that a leader should distance himself from the people and not concern himself with what people want, but with what the people need. The Lichtenstein says that Jewish leadership is the exact opposite. A true Jewish leader is a man of the people, completely beholden to them, with an obligation to give the people what they want, but to saturate it with Torah thought, orientation, and commitment. We are here to celebrate Rabbi Leibowitz, our leader, who gives us the Torah leadership that we need, but also worries about what we want. Anyone who's ever attended one of his Shalashuta Shiurim, or has one of the thousands who's downloaded a 10-minute halacha, knows that he always has an interesting and sometimes quite strange question that was asked, or he read, or heard. And this sensitivity to what people want is not just reflected in his Torah. He's a true 21st century Rav, with endless patience for Shilas in person, via phone, email, text, tweet. And in a shul full of young families, he still makes a concerted effort to know the name of every child. But his relaxed speaking style conceals his erudition and the stunning breadth of his knowledge. Even his Daf Yomi Shiurim, the primary goal of which is to cover ground, always includes at least an overview of the major sugyas, the Rishonim, the Achronim, all in under 45 minutes. Every shiur that our Rav gives includes something for both the novice and the person who's been through Shas multiple times. And while continuing to demonstrate his characteristic modesty, both in his pithy wit and his overarching deference to his role in the Masorah and the endless generations of scholars that came before him. And while none of our children is old enough to appreciate it, or not many of our children, many here today are a testament to what a phenomenal Rebbe he is as well. And so our community gathers this morning to show our Hakaras HaTov to our Rebbe. And we know that the greatest gift that we could give him was to bring his Rebbeim, both his Rebbe in Lilmod and his Rebbe in Lilamed. Rarely does Rabbi Leibowitz give a shiur without quoting an approach or an innovation of Rav Shechter Shlita. And having had the pleasure of once being a Talmud, albeit for just one summer, of Rabbi Kamenetsky, the influence of Rabbi Kamenetsky on Rabbi Leibowitz's presentation and teaching style is readily apparent. I was standing with Rabbi Leibowitz at the Kiddush on Shabbos and overheard the same conversation multiple times. Someone would come over to the rabbi and say, Mazel Tov, is that what I'm supposed to say? And Rabbi Leibowitz, the man of the people, would say, well, it seems to be what everyone's saying. But Brishus HaRav, I don't think Mazel Tov is the correct wish. Mazel Tov is what we say when something happens. It's a prayer that this sudden event, a birth, an engagement, happen at a propitious time. But today's program is about 3,000 events, not just something that happened. Rather, our shul's wish for Rabbi Leibowitz is the same as Hashem and Moshe's wish for the first leader charged with following in huge footsteps. Yoshua, Chazak ve'amatz, be strong and persevere. We as a community thank you for continuing to lead and teach us, and we hope, in the words of Rav Hirsch, that Chazak ve'amatz, you remain steadfast in adhering to your principles and be strong in carrying them out. May this program only serve as a guidepost along the way, well beyond 3,000. Don't worry, I checked this morning, he's already at 3,056. And may Rabbi Leibowitz continue to follow in the trail blazed by his Rabbeim to build our community through his Harbatzas Torah for many, many years to come. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, the Menahel of DRS Yeshiva High School.
Thank you very much. Truth is, after that introduction, there's not really much more that needs to be said. And I know if Rabbi Leibowitz had his way, no more would be said about that topic. Rishus, Mori Varabi, Rav Shechter Shlita, Aron Ari, Rabbi Leibowitz Shlita, Gavi. I see that ever since that one summer on NCSY Kol, you haven't lost your ability to summarize everything in a very, very incredibly fantastic and beautiful way. What a incredibly special event this is. What an incredible Kiddush Hashem it is today that such a relatively young Talmud Chacham has accomplished so much in such a short time. 3,000 shiurim. Rebbe, you better be careful. He's catching up. He's catching up. What an incredible celebration of Harbatzas HaTorah. The truth is there are two things being celebrated today. The first one is, of course, your Rebbe. Chasam Sofer is bothered by the fact that in Parshas Vayera, something appears that it seems nowhere else in all of Tanakh does it appear. That the Ribbono Shel Olam basically asks a question. Should I reveal this Nevuah to a Navi or not? The Ribbono Shel Olam is about to tell Avram Avinu about the fact that he's planning on destroying the city of Sodom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks a question. HaMechaseh Ani Me'Avraham Asher Ani Oseh? The Ribbono Shel Olam clarified a Shaila. Should I tell Avram Avinu about the impending doom, or should I not tell him? Very strange that there should be a suffix clapping the Ribbono Shel Olam about whether he should reveal a Nevuah to one of the Nevi'im, to Avram Avinu. And then, to make matters worse, the Torah seems to diverge a little bit. Avraham is going to be a great nation. He was a great nation. And Hashem says, I know him. He has spent his life teaching Torah to other people. V'shamru derech Hashem. They should keep the way of the Ribbono Shel Olam. La'asil sedako mishpat leman havi Hashem al Avraham eis asher diber alav. And all this is so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give great reward to Avram Avinu. And then he proceeds to tell him about the Nevuah of Sodom. So the son of the Chasam Sofer wrote an introduction to the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer in Yoredeya called Pituchei Chosam, the opening to the Chosam, to the Chasam Sofer. And he asked this question. First of all, what was the Ribbono Shel Olam suffix? How come the Ribbono Shel Olam wasn't sure whether or not to give over this Nevuah to Avram Avinu? And then what's the answer? If that was the suffix, how is he poshet the suffix? It doesn't say how he answered the kasha. Well, I know he's very firm and he teaches Torah a lot and he does this all for the reward. It sounds like that's what he asked. What do you mean? He's doing this lamana havi Hashem al Avraham yis Hashem diber alav. The reason he was marbitz Torah, the reason he's teaching people is so that he should have a reward. So the son of the Chasam Sofer in this introduction quotes from his father, the Chasam Sofer, who says that the Ribbono Shel Olam suffix was that really Aliba de Emes, Avram Avinu wasn't really Zoche, wasn't really on a Madrega that it should be Zoche to that Nevuah. Why? Because instead of spending all of his time on his own growth and development, instead of locking himself up in a room somewhere and thinking about God and contemplating the Ribbono Shel Olam and learning and developing himself, he spent all his time dealing with other people. He spent all of his time being mechazek other people. He spent all of his time teaching other people. And he spent so many of his hours helping other people that he himself didn't reach, that's what this Chasam Sofer says, he himself didn't reach the Madrega that he could have had he spent all of his time on his own learning. So that was the tzad to say he shouldn't tell him about it. But then he says, but wait a second, ki yedatev, why didn't he get there? He didn't get there because he spent all of his time doing my work. He spent all of his time helping other people, teaching other people Torah, being mechazik other people, helping out other people. So how can I not give him the level? How can I not give him the Nevuah and tell him about the Nevuah that he deserved to know? Had he spent all that time that he was helping other people on his own, I'm going to artificially give him that Madrega. That's the Chasam Sofer l'shitaso v'ahavta l'recha kamocha ze klal gadol batorah. Says the Chasam Sofer, "Vahavta l'recha kamocha zekla gadol batorah." We think "Vahavta l'recha kamocha" means do a chesed for somebody, help them out. The Chasam Sofer said, "Zekla gadol batorah." When it comes to teaching Torah, "Vahavta l'recha kamocha" is even a greater madrega. That especially when it comes to Torah, that a person spends his time helping other people learn and learning with somebody who's not on your level or helping somebody else out, "Zekla gadol." That's a tremendous klal. That's why the famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, where he says you're supposed to spend 1/10 of your time teaching other people and helping other people. Let's say if a Ben Yeshiva learns 10 hours a day, so he's supposed to spend 1 hour of his day helping other people. So that's a famous tshuva. What people don't know is he's actually arguing on the Chasam Sofer in that tshuva. He's arguing on the Chasam Sofer. Because the Chasam Sofer, he quotes this Chasam Sofer, says, "V'havta l'recha kamocha ze klal gadol batorah." When it comes to teaching Torah, even more than a tenth, the Chasam Sofer says, half your time, or maybe more than half your time, as much time as you spend teaching other people, the Chasam Sofer held, this is what will bring bracha to your own learning, and to your own growth, and to your own development. How much are we experiencing here this morning, the special simcha that we have this morning, how much is that an unbelievably, unbelievably correct reflection of this teaching of the Chasam Sofer? about how when someone spends all of his time teaching other people, what does that do to his own growth, to his own development, to his own ability to continue to learn and to continue to teach and continue to grow and to develop. The Gemara in Sukkah teaches us on Daf Mem Tes. I was very, very moved. I recently attended a dinner in honor of Rabbi Schechter. And I was looking through some of the ads. So one of the rabbis who put in an ad in honor of Rabbi Schechter said it very, very simply. The Gemara says in Masech HaSukkah on Daf Mem Tes, V'chiyesh Torah Shel Chesed, V'ena Torah Shel Chesed. So the Gemara says, Torah L'lamda Zet Torah Shel Chesed. So the ad said, in honor of Rabbi Schechter, in honor of Rabbi Schechter, whose Torah is truly Torah Shel Chesed. That was the summary. The people who study Torah, not just for their own growth and development, but because they so understand and appreciate the value that Torah has. Someone who appreciates the value that Torah has to a family, the value that Torah has to a community, the value that Torah has to an individual. So how could you not share it? How could you not be overflowing with the desire to see everybody else study Torah? How could you not want to give it over? That's Torah Shel Chesed. The Maharshal Meseches Kedushin Daf Mem writes that teaching Torah is even more important than a person himself doing mitzvahs, because teaching Torah leads others to do mitzvahs. If you do a mitzvah yourself, so you've taken care of yourself. But if you teach Torah to many people, so then that's something that causes a lot of people to not only learn Torah, but to also follow the Torah. And as was mentioned, why is your rabbi Zocha to this? To me, it is very, very clear. Is he a great masmid? Yes, he's a great masmid. Is he unbelievably organized? He is unbelievably organized. One can't deny that. Is he extremely intelligent and knowledgeable? Guilty as charged on that score as well. But the most important trait that the Gemara tells us is the most important trait for a Talmid Chacham to have is the trait of humility. The Gemara Maseches Taina says, "Hay kol samei luchul amayim, why ma mayim holchem yimakum gavol amakum namach?" Just like water always flows from a higher place to a lower place. Af divrei Torah einam miskaymen el b'mi sheosa atzmo shafal. So too, divrei Torah only really endure, only really keep with someone who doesn't carry himself with arrogance. That's the reason why Har Sinai, the Gemara says, was selected as the mountain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give the Torah on. We just read this past Shabbos. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, we just read, Va'ish Moshe Rav Me'on Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was zochah to be the Nosin HaTorah, because nothing was about him. And when a person studies Torah, it can't be about him. There's some people who study for their own honor, for their own kavod, to make themselves look good. And he, of course, Rabbi Leibowitz, of course, learned this from his Rebbe, from Rav Schechter. It's all about the learning and teaching. It's all about Talmidim and Yeshiva. It's all about the Balabatim and the Shul. The Gemara teaches in Maseches Ervin, Kol Aborech Min HaGedula, Gedula Mechazeres Acharav. He who runs away from honor runs after him. And that's what we're experiencing this morning. This is something that I've seen in Rabbi Leibowitz since the 10th grade. The first day when it was a fortuitous circumstance of events that Rabbi Leibowitz switched high schools in the middle of high school. Won't get into the details of that. And that was my first year of teaching. So I made all my mistakes that year. and many in years subsequent to that as well. But even from a very young age, he was able to see the humility, the chen. And the whole story of Rabbi Leibowitz's entrance into chinuch is also a fascinating story. I basically bumped into him at a wedding. He was headed to law school, and I bumped into him at a wedding. And I was looking for an assistant rebbe, and he had 1 year in between college and law school. There was 1 year that he just needed a job, so I guess he was maybe going to go wait on tables or something, or that's what he was thinking about doing, maybe to go get a job somewhere, just to get some money to spending money during law school, or to start off paying the loans that are gonna happen. I bumped into it. I said, listen, I said, look, it's no worse a job than anything else, right? Come take up some time, be an assistant rebbe, before law school. Like, again, I said, I approached him at the wedding, so I said, you know, I have a job available. It was already May, I hadn't filled the job. It's a part-time job available. So, Baruch Hashem, we had a beautiful relationship when he was in my shir, and so he said, like, me? You know, be a Rebbe? Like, you know, I'm going to law school. I mean, you know, the trademark humility that was evident from the very first time, when I met him, and then when I offered him the job. And the rest, as they say, is history. The Rambam writes, very, very interesting and a little bit strange formulation. The Rambam says, quoting from the Gemara, quoting from the Medrash, the Rambam says, Pasuk says in Malachi, Kisifse Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Torah Yavakshu Mipiu Kimalach Hashem Tzevokos Hu. That the mouth of the Kohen watches over wisdom, and people will ask him for Torah Kimalach Hashem Tzevokos Hu. So the Rambam says, if a Rebbe is Doma L'Malach Hashem Tzevokos, then Torah Yavakshu Mipiu. If a Rebbe is like a Malach, then people are supposed to learn Torah from him. So many of the Mefarshim explain, what do you mean? A Rebbe's like a Malach? He's supposed to be like a Malach? That's, even for Rabbi Leibowitz, that's pretty high, that's a pretty high standard. And if the Rebbe's not like a Malach, you're not supposed to learn Torah from him. So the Mefarshim say that what it means is, a Malach, by his definition, has no other agendas. That's the definition of a Malach. The definition of a Malach is, the Rebbe Shlom says, go here, you go. The Malach doesn't have a Yitzhahara, he doesn't have his own agendas. He has one agenda, and that is Lasos Ratzon Hashem. That's supposed to be all of our agendas. And that's the definition of what a Rebbe is, who has no other agendas other than the growth of his Talmidim, Balabatim, other than the accomplishment. That's the only agenda. There are no other agendas. The Bar Tanura on the Mishnah says, "Heaven mi talmido shel Aaron, oiv shalom verodev shalom oiv esabrios umakarvan la Torah." So the Bar Tanura describes how a Rebbe is supposed to be makarev talmidim. The Bar Tanura there writes that when a Rebbe who's a great talmid chacham, when he befriends the sinner, the chote, someone who's far away from Torah, he befriends that person. So And the chote sees that someone who's on such a rebbe who wants to have a kesher with me, so the sinner is embarrassed. He says, if someone wants to have a relationship with me, he's a role model for me. So he's embarrassed, and he right away moves away. That causes a person to move away from the path of sin. So through the humility and through warmth and through caring, that's the way a person is supposed to be makari of others. Oyev sabrios makarben la Torah. We just read this past Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik has such a beautiful drasha. The Chlal of Soloveitchik's drasha on Parshas Balosa, for those who know it, it's absolutely otherworldly. Where he says, I was sitting in shul, and they read the nine different topics in Parshas Balosa. Everybody else sits and listens to the lading, and you think it's nine different things that aren't related. Rav Soloveitchik gave a knockout, incredible, amazing drasha to describe how all the nine topics are all really one theme. We're not going to go into all nine right now in the interest of time. But it's one nugget, Anogel in Yanenu. So we all know that Klal Yisrael complained. They complained, Mi achilenu basa, zacharenu sadaga, sherachaldu mivitzayim chinam. We remember all the gashmis, remember all the food that we had. When Klal Yisrael sinned with Chet Yehiel, Moshe Rabbeinu was running to defend Klal Yisrael. And here they want a shtick flesh, and all of a sudden he's throwing in the towel. Anochi harisi eskal amazeh, melechi lidetiu, did I give birth to the people? So Soloveitchik developed, in one of the points of this amazing, brilliant, fantastic drasha, he said that Moshe Rabbeinu's status at this point as a Jewish leader was changing a little bit. And until that point, he thought, you know, Chet Egel I could deal with, that's to teach philosophy, to teach Torah, to teach ideas, that I could do. But to deal with people's petty wants and desires, narishkeit of people, So the Rabbanu Shalom is telling him, no, to be a rabbi, you have to also deal with Narishkeit. That's part of the job. That someone who really cares about people understands that people are human beings and people have Yetzaharas and people have issues, and a rabbi, even though he's in the rarefied atmosphere of the shul, the Beis Medrash, he's teaching tefillah, teaching Torah, but he also has to be able to deal with people's complaints, with people's difficulties, and that's what a true Jewish leader really is. Then he says that's why Moshe had to separate from Tzipora, a whole other story, and that's what led into the Lashon Hara, that Miriam and Aaron didn't understand this dimension of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's one celebration that we're celebrating here this morning. But there's another celebration. And that's the celebration of the Beis Knesses of North Woodmere, of a shul that recognizes what a special rabbi they have and who have respect for his learning. To throw a party like this, although I didn't see the balloons or anything or the big mazel tov things, you know, it's the party's a donut and coffee, but okay. To throw a party like this, a party of celebration of Torah, what a schus for the rabbi to have congregants who appreciate this aspect of their rabbi. You are every bit as important as the Rebbe in all of his Harbatzis HaTorah. As the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, Yosem Imashe Ha'egel Rotze Linok, Hapara Rotze Lahanik, even more than the calf wants to nurse, the mother wants to express the milk. Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem, those people who are from Mevakshe Hashem, that this is a shul of Balabatim who are Kovei Itim La Torah, who understand not just the Kviyas Itim, but V'Higisa Bo Yomam V'Layla, who look for opportunities to study Torah and to find opportunities in the day to learn. You have such a special thing going here in this shul. You are the envy of so many other shuls for what you have. Both Arav and Balabatim, who are so Machshiv Torah, Machshiv Tefillah. When I spoke to Rabbi Leibowitz about this event, he was so pleased that this is what you want to celebrate. Not, of course, as was said before, Chas V'Shalom, for his own honor, but for the honor of Torah. So I want to charge you that this shul is going to keep on growing, and when word continues to get out about what you have going on, it's going to keep on growing, it's going to grow more. Make sure you keep on having the appropriate respect for your Rebbe, even as you get bigger. Don't let his and your successes get to your heads. Stay away from machlokas at all times, and above all, heed the words of your rabbi. Stand by him, give him honor, and Be'ez Hashem, sometime before 6,000, this shul should join all the other Bati Knesses and Bati Midrashos and Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, as the Gemara says, Asid Bati Midrashos and Bati Knesses Shebabavol, to be in Yerushalayim. I just want to close with one final vart. Also, before I close with the one final vart, a special Hakaras HaTov has to be said publicly at this event to YU Torah, that absolutely incredible, incredible vehicle of Harbatzas HaTorah. How many thousands and thousands of people all over the entire world, worlds and worlds and vistas of Torah have been opened up to them in far-flung places. Absolutely unbelievable. What a tremendous chus of Harbatzas HaTorah that for Yeshiva University and for Befrat, for the YU Torah. My grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, some of you may know he was involved in starting yeshivos and throughout the entire United States when it was a very difficult time. And his favorite Ramban, I think, is very appropriate. Just closing words for my chelik of this special gathering. Right in the Parshas Kisavo, so you have the Torah lists various curses that come on. That are going to come on a person. Aror mashki iver badarech, aror various curses. And then at the end, it goes through various averes that you get cursed for. And then it says, Aror shalo yakim estirvei atar azos la'asos asav amar kol amamein. Very strange. You just told me this avera you get cursed for, that avera, the other avera. And then or mashki rabadarach or masik gul reyu maklav v'imo matzim mishmakei yosav amana or shochin mikol behema or shochin beishasish shochin machoso. And then at the end, or shelo yakim is divrei Torah so. Or is anyone who doesn't do any divrei Torah? What do you mean? You just said all. You just listed a whole bunch of them that you get cursed. So what's the last one at the end? So the Ramban, everybody has a tumult about what these words mean. The Ramban at the very end says, Lamad v'limed v'shamar v'asa v'haya biyado lahamid haTorah biyad acherim v'lo hamid l'hakim haTorah biyad acherim v'lo hakim harei zeh ba'or. That there's an extra curse for the one who doesn't, and an extra blessing for someone who not only learns Torah and teaches Torah and observes Torah, but someone who is mamid Torah. Mamid Torah means to build a community, means to build a yeshiva, means to build a shul, to build a community that allows the Torah to last, that allows the Torah to endure, to continue. This is a special mitzvah and a special opportunity. So Hashem should give, first of all, Arichas Yamim V'Shanim to the Rebbe of the Rebbe, to Rav Shechter Shlita, in whose chus I was zocha to study Torah, Rabbi Leibowitz was zocha, so many others here who were zocha to study so much Torah from Rabbi Shechter. Hashem should give him, Bez Hashem, Arichas Yamim V'Shanim, to continue to be Marbet Torah to thousands and thousands of Talmudim that he's been zocha to till this point, should continue to have the strength and the chus to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to bless the Beis Knesset of North Woodmere and Rabbi Leibowitz Berosham, that he should be zocha to continue to be Marbitz Torah Ad Bias Kol Tzedek. We should all be zocha to celebrate together Yerushalayim Harav Yameinu Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned before, the Torah of North Woodmere, as we all know, is suffused in every way with the Torah of Rav Shechter Shlita. It's a tremendous schus for us and a cover for other Leibowitz that Rav Shechter was able to come join us tonight with Rav Shechter Shlita.
Thank you very much. I'm very moved to participate in the function today. I think there's a medrash on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said HaNechas Ani Avraham that you spoke about. I think there's a medrash that translates the words differently. Can I hide from Avraham Avinu? He's going to figure it out anyway. I really feel uncomfortable that people consider me Rabbi Kamenetsky's Rebbe, Rabbi Leibowitz's Rebbe. These people are on their own already. They already by far they surpassed me. They can figure anything that I can figure out. They can already figure out on their own. They don't beat me. Occasion I was requested to give a shiur on Inyanei Smicha. Smicha is really in Parshas Pinchas, so we'll be ahead a little bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yeshua ben Nun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to give Smicha biyad, b'samach t'siyot v'olav. He should put his hand on Yeshua and confer Smicha to him. The Rambam writes a chiddush. Not only Yeshua ben Nun, but the Shivim Zkeinim also. All of the smichas that were given by Moshe Rabbeinu was smicha biyad. But then after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the following generation, smicha was b'shem, it wasn't biyad. It was no longer necessary. There was no inyan to put the hand or the hands on the one who's receiving the smicha. Just you say, Rebbe Yato, we give you the title of smicha. Yesh l'choshus lodin din iknosis. The Maskilim in Europe, this is one of the things that they picked on. They decided that the Chachmei HaGemara didn't know what they were talking about. And really, Smicha was always biyad until the Roman persecutions, and then they changed it. So if you look in Rav Moshe Feinstein's first volume, Achosha Mishpat, he has a very nasty letter that he wrote to Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog published some Divrei Torah, and he assumed like the Maskilim against the Gemara. Smicha was always biyad. Way after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of the Roman persecution. So Rav Moshe has an extremely nasty letter. Rav Nissen Alper, Zechon Lebrach, used to be in the yeshiva, said he saw the original letter before it was printed. He said it was even nastier. When you look in the first Shuvah, it's a very nasty letter. He said the original, Rav Moshe touched it up before he printed it. It's always assumed in the Gemara that Smicha was B'Shem. Only one who gave smicha biyad was Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua ben Nun, and the Rambam has a chiddush that even the Shivim Zakenim, all of the smichas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, Smicha biyad. The pasuk says Hamachta as yadcha alav. He should put his hand, one hand, and then the pasuk says V'yismach Moshe as yadav. He put both hands. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was noy toy v'sayin. The Rabban Shlomo only told him to put one hand, and he put both hands. He loved this Talmud so much he gave smicha b'shtei yadayim. Some of the Mefarshim are bothered with the kasha. Isn't this a violation of Al Tosif? So they say, what kind of violation of Al Tosif? Tosif discusses if you make a sukkah, strictly speaking, the sukkah could be shtayim kel chasam shlishis afilu tefa. Who makes a sukkah like that? We make a sukkah with four walls. Why shouldn't it be a violation of Al Tosif? They says, no, you eat a kazayis matzah. Who eats a kazayis? Everybody eats more than a kazayis matzah. Why not consider that a violation of Al Tosif? So the answer is, sometimes it's self-understood that a kazayis means you have to eat a minimum of a kazayis. You have to have a minimum of 2.5 walls. It doesn't mean that's it. And if you have a little more, it's not Baal Teis. Here the Rabban Shlom said, you should demonstrate how much you love Yeshua Benon to give smicha biyad. Give b'shtei adayim is avada good. Ebesa, it was like toi b'sayin, avada. This smicha has to be continued. Yesh mipi isha Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says Yeshua ben Nun got a smicha in Kutz Loretz before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. But in the later generations, the Gemara says smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. What kind of a din is that? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bechoyres on Dav Chav Tes, the Mishnah there has a little bit about smicha. So the Rambam has a little bit of an explanation. He says that the smicha that's conferred is not a private affair, that the Rebbe gets smicha from his Rebbe, gets smicha from his Rebbe. It's not a private affair that he gives a private smicha to his Talmud. The Rebbe is representing Klal Yisrael when he gives the smicha. So Klal Yisrael, the Iker of Klal Yisrael, is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Loretz are considered ki yichidim domo. People perhaps wouldn't have noticed this Pirush HaMishnayis, but when you look at the Avnei Nezer, he has the beginning of the second volume on Chelek Orechaim, he has two tshuvas where he discusses this Rambam Barichas, and he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and he shows that this is a recurring theme in the Rambam, that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Loretz are considered Yechidim, and the smicha is conferred b'shem Kol Yisrael. This reader Yesh has an essay, not really a tshuva, an essay, where he writes about smicha. In the yeshiva, when they give smichas, and they make a big chagas smicha after every 2, 3 years, 4 years. Rameir El Shapira, when he had the Lublin yeshiva, so he also made a chagas smicha, a big public function. So the Tzvi Yesh says, you see from the Gemara, that that's the way it's supposed to be. The Gemara tells in Sanhedrin about one of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yudha ben Bova, who gave smicha to a few students of his, and he wanted to give the smicha in public, but he knew the Roman government, the Romans would kill him for giving smicha, and they would kill all of the people in the communities. So he gave smicha in between two mountains that was far away from all the communities, but he knew he was going to get killed. So he gave the smicha and they killed him. So Makshim Ha'olam, why didn't they give a private smicha? When you go to any shul today, half the people have smicha. Who knows who has smicha, doesn't have smicha? Why didn't he just confer smicha privately? So you see from the Gemara that smicha has to be conferred in a public fashion. That's how the pasuk says, "V'tzivisa oisa li'aneim." And Parshas Pinchas, that when Moshe Rabbeinu confers the smicha on Yeshua ben Nun, it's supposed to confer the smicha in public. Why? Because the smicha is given. M'shein kol Yisrael. It's not a private issue that the Rebbe is giving the smicha. That's what the Rambam wrote in Pirush HaMishnah. Smicha has to be done dafka in Eretz Yisrael because it's supposed to be m'shein kol Yisrael. There is a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Baalei HaTosis regarding the nature of the din of smicha. Tosfos is clearly of the opinion that smicha is only a din in a bezin. The Gemara says on the first daf in Sanhedrin that if you look in Parshas Mishpatim, the word Elohim, Loshon Chol, appears 3 times in connection with the bezin, so you add up 3 times Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. So it indicates to us that you need 3 people to constitute a bezin for a din Torah of Zelus v'Chavolus. What if it's a case of Chodos v'Halvos, Malva v'Loive, Amekech v'Memkar? So there's no, it's not that the Torah imposes a Chiyuv Mamon, the person accepted upon himself a Chiyuv Mamon. So then the Gemara has a Machloikas, and the Rambam Paskins, we assume that Min HaTorah Chad Dam Mikoshi, you don't need a Bezdan 3, the Pesukim and the Chumash are only speaking about a situation of Gzeilus v'Chavolus. So Tosfos' opinion, Rashi and Tosfos learn, that if you have chadna mikosher, one person is going to paskin the din Torah by hados v'halvos. He doesn't have to have any smicha. Smicha is a din in a bezin, and one person is nishkin bezin. The Gemara Taisus quotes a Gemara in Ksubis that even Taisus interprets the Gemara in Ksubis that even if one would think that Chadam Yikosher and a Dintur of Hoidos Mahalvois, one Dayan is good enough, but if you want to make a Kiyam Ashtar, then you need a Bezna 3. Why? Because Kiyam Ashtar is a Maisid Bezin. Chadam Yikosher is Nishkin Bezin. Means a person comes with a Shavlan Hilchel Shabbos. You need a Bezin. A person comes with a Shavlan Hilchel Kashvis, a Taras HaMishpach. You don't need a Bezin. A tamachachem pasken is the shayla. So here also, that's the vart of haidos v'halvois. You don't need a bez mechalal. All you need is a paisik. He knows the din, so he doesn't have to have smicha in order to be able to. If he knows the din, he can pasken. If he doesn't know, he won't pasken. When you need a bezin, namely in zedus v'halvois, you need a bezin. A bezin needs three. So to be a member of a bezin, you have to have smicha. That's why Tosis shows based on the psukim that there would have been room to distinguish between a bezin for dini nefashis and a bezin for dini mamonis. One might have thought maybe you only need a smicha to be part of a bezin of dini nefashis, but in dini mamonis maybe you would need a smicha. So that's where the pasuk said three times Elohim. Elohim means samuch. One has smicha. Even a bezin of dini mamonis, you also need. You also have to have this requirement of having smicha. The Rambam doesn't seem to agree with Tosfos. The Rambam is a little unclear, but that's the Avnei Nezer has a whole interpretation, and the Rambam he shows, and the Or Sameach has this also. They both showed the same thing. The Rambam's opinion is that Chad Nami Kosher, that one can pasken a din Torah of the Haidos v'Halvois, that one has to have smicha. I, but is Nishken Bezen. So what does he have? The Rambam also writes like this: one is good to pasken on Haidos v'Halvois. So the Rambam says, Beferish, he doesn't have a din of a bezin. It's like a Moira Hiro, it's paskinning Anisa the Heta, and Hilchus Shabbos, Hilchus Kashrus. So why does he have to have smicha? So the Rambam clearly holds that smicha is a din of psak. If you don't have smicha, you can't paskin. What do you mean? But there are people today who are paskinning Shailas. Shav Soloveitchik used to use an expression that the Minchas Chinuch often has. Minchas Chinuch, a lot of times, he writes on all the different mitzvahs. He writes and he writes and he writes, and then he says, I didn't say anything. Just Mara Mokam Ani Loch. I'm just bringing to your attention the Ktzoi says over here this, and the Shulchan Aruch says this, and the Shach says this. I'm just bringing to your attention Mara Mokam Ani Loch. So Rav Soloveitchik said, when Talmud Chacham today paskens the Shaila, today we don't really have an Ismicha. The real Smicha Yish Mipiyisha Moshe Rabbeinu ended years ago, centuries ago, 1500 years ago, was the end of the Smicha. So how does anybody paskin today? So he says, it's not, according to the Rambam, it's not really called the Hayro, it's not called the Psach. Mar Mokamani Yiloch, the Talmud Chacham knows what it says in Shulchan Aruch, he knows what it says in the Igris Moshe, he knows what it says in the Chasam Sofer. So he just brings to the attention the Baal HaBuch. He doesn't have to give him the whole presentation. He says the bottom line in the Shulchan Aruch is that it's mutter, that it's awesome, whatever. But it's not really called the Chal Hashem Hayro. In order to be considered a Hayro, you have to have smicha. And the Rambam writes, Rambam quotes the Gemara and the Yerushalmi that there's such a concept as smicha the dvarim yechidim. You give smicha for mamonis and not for isa v'heta. You can give smicha for isa v'heta and not for mamonis. What kind of smicha for isa v'heta? There's no bezin needed in isa v'heta. Smicha for hatoras nedarim. So the Rambam is befeirish that there's such a concept of smicha for paskening shailas. There is a Mishnah, Rav Moshe Feinstein has this as well. There is a Mishnah towards the end of Sanhedrin, where the Mishnah talks about the Einish Misa, the punishment that's given to a Zokin Mamre. If the Bez Nagodol issues a Psak, so everyone is obligated to follow the Psak of the Bez Nagodol. If the Talmud Chacham paskens against the Bez Nagodol, so he deserves the death penalty. So the Mishnah says, what if the individual who paskens, let's say a balabas is going to get up and say, I don't pasken like the Bez Nagodol. I pasken. What are you going to pasken? Who are you? You're not entitled to an opinion. You're not a rabbi. So the Mishnah says he's not chayv nisa because nimtza chumroi kuloi. His avera has a bigger chutzpah. If he would be a Talmud Chacham and he says I pasken against the Bez Nagodol, he should have been entitled to an opinion. But against the Bez Nagodol, he's not allowed to. But if he's a balabas, he's not entitled to opinion bichlal. So because he did a bigger avera, nimtza chumroi kuloi, so he doesn't get the death penalty because no one's going to listen to him anyway. He's a Talmud shelo higia lo hayro. So what's the definition of a Talmud shelo higia lo hayro, that he's not chayiv nisa mitam zaka mamre? So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, the first tshuva in Chosh Mishpat, that he wrote the letter to Rav Herzog. So he points out there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So Rashi says on that Mishnah, he's younger than 40 years old. The Gemara says that it took 40 years from Maimon Hasina till the end of the career of Moshe Rabbeinu, till Bnei Yisrael understood what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to teach them. Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. Then he's trying to teach everything to Bnei Yisrael. So at the end of his whole lifetime, he says, so the Gemara says, you see, it takes 40 years till you really understand what the Rebbe is trying to teach you. There are a lot of things I heard from Rav Soloveitchik B'Shas Ma'aseh that didn't understand at all what he was talking about. And Taka, literally, 40 years later, I still, oh, that's a Gemara. That's what he was saying over there. A lot of things I turned off my hearing aid, what he was saying, because it absolutely didn't make sense. Now it's already too late to try to reconstruct it. But other things, the hearing aid was on, but I didn't understand. It took me a long time to understand. So even though the Gemara says it takes 40 years from the time you hear it from the Rebbe, so we don't paskin like that. Talmud Chacham shouldn't paskin before the age of 40. He didn't start learning by his Rebbe when he was 1 year old, when he was born. But still we assume that a person shouldn't paskin until the age of 40. So Rashi learns on the Mishnah, Talmud Shulahigia Lahira means that Talmud Chacham who's not yet 40 years old. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam learns Talmud Shulahigia Lahira means he doesn't have smicha. If you have smicha, then what you paskin is called the Hira. It's called the Psacha. If you don't have smicha, it's not called the B'stak. Rashi apparently understood like the Tosfos in Sanhedrin. Smicha is a din in Bezdin. What does it have to do with Paskin and Shailas? If a person knows Halacha, he can Paskin and Shailas without Smicha. So Rashi understood the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Talmud Shelo Higiyah Lo Hayro, it's not Chayv Misa, Mi Talmud Zok and Mamre, it means he's not 40 years old. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that there's a weakness in Rashi's B'shat. Maybe that's what motivated the Rambam to learn differently. That Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when the Gemara says one shouldn't paskin anything until he reaches the age of 40, that's only if there are other Rabbanim in the neighborhood who are past the age of 40. But if you're in a little village or you're somewhere, you can't keep on calling up, you can't pester all the Rabbanim all the time. So if in your community there's no other Talmid Chacham who's over the age of 40, so then the Gemara says even before the age of 40 you're allowed to paskin shalom. So Rashi is interpreting in the Mishnah, Talmid Shel HaYigil HaRoi is not 40 years old yet. It's a shver pshat. Sometimes you don't have to be 40. It's not an ironclad rule. Moshe writes that maybe that's what motivated the Rambam to learn his pshat. Talmud Shelo Higiel Ra means a person doesn't have smicha, so it's not called the Chal Hashem Hayram. So this was the smicha that used to be from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the middle of the period of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Those who lived in Babel couldn't fly back and forth like today. So whoever lived in Babel couldn't get any smicha. Smicha cannot be conferred in Babel. The Gemara says you need both. The one who's giving the smicha and the one who's receiving the smicha both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be panim keneged panim. You can send them a letter that you're conferring smicha on him if you know that he's roi lakach. But you require that both the one who's conferring the smicha and one who's receiving the smicha have to both be in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes, the Rambam quotes the Gemara that when you confer smicha, that's a ma'aseh bez, and you need three people to give smicha to an individual or to a group. You can give smicha mass production also, you can give 100 people at a time. But the Rambam writes, you require that one of the three people that's conferring the smicha has to have smicha himself, and the other two don't have to have smicha. So what is that all about? How can they give smicha if they don't have smicha? So some correct the Rambam. It must be a mistake. Not one of them should be kolechad mehem. Each one of the three members of the Bezdin should have smicha. So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik has in the Sefer on the Rambam an interpretation of the text as it says by us in the Rambam. No, the Rambam's opinion is that to be a member of the Bezdin you don't need smicha. Smicha is only a din of paskening a shaila. So you can put together three balabatim and they'll be that's an acceptable bezin, when they need a bezin. But for the purpose of smicha, you need ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of the three people has to have himself smicha, otherwise it won't be ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. But the other two can be balabatim. They don't have to give him a p'china. The Gemara said the Feirish. They sent the Talmud Chacham to Eretz Yisrael, and they sent a letter, this guy knows how to learn, he passed all the exams, give him smicha. So the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gave him smicha without preparing him. You see that the three people who are conferring the smicha, they don't have to ascertain that he knows how to learn. As long as it has been ascertained he knows how to learn, so he can confer the smicha. So the Bezin who confers the smicha can be balabatim. There's no din that requires, according to the Rambam, There's no din that requires that the members of the Bezin have to have smich, it's just the din and psak. But one of the three has to have smich, otherwise it won't be yish mefiyish at Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Rav Soloveitchik was developing his whole shiur to explain this machloik is the Rambam and Taisvis, that the Rambam holds smich is a din and psak, and Taisvis holds that smich is a din and bezin, so Rabbi Michal Shurkin happened to be in attendance on that occasion. So he told Rav Soloveitchik what Rav Elvila Soloveitchik has in the sefer had come out. So he said, no, that's in line with what I was saying. It fits in with his shiur, that the Rambam shita is that smicha is not a din and bezin, it's a din and hoiroa. You have a Gemara. The Gemara says that to accept the ger, if you want to convert a non-Jew, has to be done in the presence of a bezin. You know, the Gemara describes in the Yavam is the way that a ger is in the water up to his neck, and the bezin of three rabbonim are there, and they review the kabbalos on mitzvahs, and then the ger is toivel in the mikveh. So if a ger tzarech shloisha mishpat ksidbe, you need a bezin of three. So Tosis raises an issue: how are we mekabel gerim mizman hazeh? Nobody has any smicha. So the Gemara seems to say that the bezin is ma'akeh b'di'evid. How can we make the kabel gerim today if nobody has any smicha? So Tosis refers you to the Gemara. The Gemara says, in the end of Gittin, is a Gemara that Rav Yosef used to, on occasion, pressure people to give a get to their wives. The Mishnais have, on certain occasions, bezin has the right and the obligation to pressure to be koifa ala get. Mar has a whole discussion in Bava Basra and Chesk Sabatim. A get mu'usa is no good. A get has to be given out of the husband's free will. So how can the bezin force the husband to give a get, even if the din requires that he's supposed to give it? How can it do? So Gemara gives two answers on that. Gemara gives one answer: Toyu v'zavin zvina zvina. You paskin if I hold. That's I come into your home and I see you have beautiful paintings, very valuable paintings. And I ask you how much does it? I'd like to buy paintings. It's not for sale. This is my. It's not a store. This is my private home. This is my property. I don't want to sell it. So I hold a gun to your head and say, how much do you want for the painting? Either you sell me the painting or I shoot you. So you say, $500,000. So I give you $500,000. I say, thank you very much, and I walk off with the painting. So the Gemara has a machlekes. Is that considered a mechira midaito? So we paskin that yes, told you, this oven, if I threaten to kill you, I give you $1 for $1 million painting. That's told you, the yoyv. I pressured you till you gave me a gift, so that's no das. But sometimes people are in need of money, and sometimes they have to sell their private personal belongings in order to pay up all of their chayvus that they have. So sometimes a person will decide to sell his paintings. So if I hold the gun up to your head, that's a good cause for you to decide to sell your paintings. Therefore, we assume la'alocha that that's considered midaita. That's considered midaita. So the Gemara says, okay, so if the bezin pressures a husband to give his wife a get when the din requires such, and he finally gives the get, so then the Gemara said the same thing. Calls man that he's married to his wife, they're not pressuring him to do something that's ridiculous, like I hold the gun and I say, I'm going to give you $1 for the painting. It's worth $1 million. What do you mean, give me $1? Here, it's not fair. The husband is being miserable to his wife. Whatever, he doesn't have a job, he's not supporting his wife, he's not nice to his wife. So sometimes bezin will force the husband to give a gift. So the bezin is forcing him to do the right thing. And calls man that he's married to her, he's mukhiyev to support her. When he divorces her, she's taking care of the laundry and taking care of the children, taking care of the food and everything. But he's giving her some money. So when he divorces her, so he doesn't get the services that the wife gives the husband. But he doesn't have to give his wife anything either. So it's not an unreasonable thing that the bezin is pressuring him to give a gift to his wife. So if you hold him and I hold the gun to your head, and I pressure you to sell me your painting, that's good. Tell you with Zavin's Venus Venus, if you all like that opinion. So then the Gemara says, we understand how come the bezin can on occasion pressure, force a man to give his wife a get, and they threaten, we're going to kill you. If you don't give the get, we're going to beat you up till you're going to drop dead. So if you hold like that, then tell you with Zavin, so it's good. But if you hold, not like Rav Huna, if you hold tell you with Zavin, it's no good. So how can the bezin be koifal I get? It shouldn't be valid. So the Gemara gives a new answer over there. That really every Jew has inside of his heart, he has that Avraham Suteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody really loves the Rabbanu Shalom. Everybody wants to do all the mitzvahs. Everybody wants to listen to what the Rabbanim tell them. When he says he doesn't want to give his wife a get, that's not his true self who's speaking. That's the Rav Soloveitchik used to use his terminology. That's a pseudo-personality. That's not really him. And then when they beat him up, Tilly finally says, Retzani, that's his true self is coming out. He said, Retzani, that's what he really wants. He really wants to give the get, because every Jew wants to follow what it says in the Torah. The Torah says you have to listen to the Rabbanu. The Rabbanu is saying that you're acting improperly. You're not being fair to your wife, so you should give her a get. So that's very famous. The Rambam quotes that explanation. The end of Perek Sheni in Hilchos Gerushin, the Rambam quotes that whole explanation. That every Jew, deep in his heart, wants to do Ratzon Hashem, wants to listen to the Chachamim. When the Bezin beats him up and he says, Ratzani, so that's his true self is speaking now. So that's a famous difficulty in the Rambam. Why did he have to quote that's a beautiful explanation? What did he need it for? The Rambam paskens that if I hold a gun to your head and I threaten to kill you unless you sell me the painting for its true value, that's also good. So the same is good. So the Gemara says, if you hold that it's good, tell you the Zavin is good by the painting. So told you by the get is also good. You don't need this whole fancy explanation. That's a famous difficulty in the Rambam. Why did the Rambam have to come on to that whole explanation? The Gemara only suggested that if you don't accept Talyu Bezov. Whatever it is. So the Gemara in the end of Gittin says, Abai was a student of Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef on occasion would pressure husbands to give a get to their wives when they were acting improperly. So Abai confronts Rabbi Yosef, and he says, but Rebbe, you don't have smicha. They lived in Bavel. They didn't fly back and forth there at Yisroel. That's why he's called Rabbi Yosef, means reverend. He wasn't a real rabbi. In Bavel, they can't get any smicha. So he says, you don't have any smicha, so how can you be koifa al aget? The din requires you need three times Elohim by a din Torah of Zelus HaHavolus. And the opening pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. Lifneihem means in the presence of the smuchim. What does it mean, Tosim? So the Gemara raises an objection, the Gemara raises an issue. The verb tosim sounds like a tangible object here. Ani mesim et zekan. Losim means to place something. It should really read, Eila mishpatim asher talamdeim. Mishpatim are concepts, halachas. So how can you use the verb asher tosim? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Dab Zayin, Eila mishpatim asher tosim lefneim, Eila klei adayonim. This is referring to the whip and the nightstick and the cane. You have to give kelim to the dayanim. They should beat up the balabatim in case they don't want to follow the din ha-Torah. So the rabbanim have a right to be koifa, the balabatim to observe the din. So the koyach ha-kliya is only given over to smuchim. Eila mishpatim ha-shatasim goes on klei ha-dayanim. Bezin has the right and the obligation to be koifa people to follow the laws of the Torah. Ha-shatasim lifneihem, lifneihem v'lo lifnei adyotis. As isui, mili de isui, mili de kfiyah has to be dafke with smuch. So that's what Abayi confronted Rabbi Yosef. How does he have the right to be ma'asa on gittin? How does he have the right to force husbands to give their wives a get when they're acting improperly, when their wife deserves a get? Rabbi Yosef didn't have smicha. So what right does he have to be kaifa? So Rabbi Yosef answered that there are smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. During the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef, there was still Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael had smicha. And a generation or two later, the smicha conked out in Eretz Yisrael also. So he says, we act as shluchim of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael. So then the Rishonim raised a question. So, fine, in the days of Rabbi Yosef, there was smuchim in Eretz Yisrael, they act as smuchim. What about the Zman Hazeh? There's nobody in the whole wide world has any smicha. There's nobody alive has any smicha. So who are we, the shluchim of? So Taisus and all of Yisraelim say, Shlichasai de Kamoi Kabdina. We act as the shluchim of those who had smicha 1500 years ago. When there was still smicha, we act as the shluchim. So that's what Taisus answers. How can we be mekabel gerim as man hazeh? We don't have any smicha. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that to be mekabel ger, you need a bezin of three. And Taisus assumes that of a pasuk, the bezin of three has to be three smuchim. A bezin needs smicha. So nobody has any smicha today. So Taisus says, no problem, shlichusayu. Just like Rabbi Yosef had the right to be ma'aset, to pressure husbands to get a get based on shlichusayu, so today we have the right to be mekabel gerim, also shlichusayu. The Rashba in Yevamos quotes this from the Taisus, and he says, shlichusayu. He said the Rashba thinks that shlichusayu is only midirabbanon. That doesn't. What do you mean? How can I be a shlich of people who died 1500 years ago? A man appoints a shlich to give a get to his wife, then the husband dies. So the shlich can deliver the get after the husband died. And the Mishnah says, ain't get lachamisa. Once the husband dies, there's no get. And even if the husband is still alive, can a kohen does wanna, he finds it difficult to walk up, to hold his hands up to duchen. So can he send a non-kohen as a shlich to duchen for him? A kohen will send a non-kohen to the Beis HaMikdash to be makor karbonis on his behalf. But the one is bringing the karbonis, nishkan kohen, he doesn't have the qualifications. So the whole shlichus side doesn't make any sense. How can you say that we, the Rabbanim in Bavel, act as the shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz? But bottom line, the Rabbanim in Bavel didn't have any smicha. And how can we today be shlichus side the kamoi, but the mishalchim died already? What's going on? So the Rashba says, nah, the whole shlichus side is mid the Rabbanim. It doesn't work min haTorah. The Gemara says, what right do we have to be done din haTorah today? It's really hefker bez nehefker. There's no, on the level of the Rashi, there's no way to explain it. What right do we have to be kaif on the gittin? So we're in violation of the din. You're not supposed to be kaif. But you can say shlichus side gives me the qualification min haTorah. So how do you answer? How you mekabel gerim is manazef? You need a bezna. So the Rashba says, you need a bezna three. But who says they have to have smicha? They don't have to have any smicha. So the Rashi pointed out, this is when you learn Choshe Mishpat, this is Sif Aleph, Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph, this is the first Nesibis. The very first Nesibis quotes a machlokes between the Tosfos and the Rashba, whether Shlichusai was a concept deraisa or it's only midirabbanan. The Tosfos' opinion is Shlichusai works minatara. And the Rashba holds that Shlichusai is only midirabbanan. So the So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that this machlokes, Tosfos and Rashba, seems to be involved with what we said before. Tosfos' opinion is that smicha is a din in bezin. Whenever you need a bezin, so the members of the bezin have to have smicha. So for geiris, there's nothing for them to paskin about. If you would have a shaylah hilchas geiris, you would call up Rav Moshe. Whenever there would be a bezin, had a shaylah, they would call up Rav Moshe, call up someone else. They're not going to take upon themselves to paskin the shaylah. So what's the whole role of the bezin? So maisa bezin. You just need a bezin to do the maisa geiris, to oversee the maisa hageiris. So according to Tosfos, even though the bezin by geiris is not paskining anything, it's just a maisa bezin, nonetheless, to serve as a member of a bezin, you have to have the qualification of smicha. And the Rashba, the Rambam also seems to hold like the Rashba. The Rambam writes that a geir, you need a bezin of three, and he never writes that the three have to have smicha. So that fits in very well with the Rambam's opinion, that the Rambam seems to hold that bezin is a din in smicha is a din in hoira and paskining. So by the geiris, since the bezin is not paskining anything, they're just, it's a maisa bezin to supervise, to give the stamp of approval to the geiris. So there was never any need for smicha over there. A bezin that doesn't paskin anything doesn't have to have any smicha. Yeah, what is the issue? The Pashtus is the Rashba is right. How can you explain Shlichusayu on the level of the Raisa? It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Rav Yosef in Bavel is the Shlich of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, but if he does not smicha, how can he be a Shlich? It's a Pella. So the Chasam Sefer has a tshuva where he explains what it's all about. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't aware of this tshuva in the Chasam Sefer. I don't think he was aware of any tshuvas in the Chasam Sefer. He didn't look in the Chasam Sefer, but he said the same pshat as the Chasam Sefer based on the Chidush Haran on Sanhedrin on the first daf has the same thing. The Chasam Sefer didn't have a Chidush Haran. So that you didn't have a Chasam Sefer, but they came to the same conclusion. So the Ran explains B'Shem HaRamban that in that pasuk Gela Mishpatim Ashtasim Lifnehem, and the word Lifnehem has the connotation of Elohim Smuchim. You're only allowed to bring the Din Torah to a Bezin Smuchim. You're not permitted to bring the Din Torah to a Bezin of Hadyaitas. Balabatim don't have smicha. So what is the pasuk telling us? So the Ramban says that there are two aspects to the pasuk. One is that there's an iser, a non-samuch is not permitted to pass in the din Torah because he's violating kovod hasmuchim. He's neitel kisran shel hasmuchim. He's taking the crown that the smuchim deserves. The smuchim deserve this kovod that you should go to them, and he's taking the kovod for himself. So he says number one there's an iser. That's how it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We learn how to deal from the Lifnei, below Lifnei had Yoitas. You're not allowed to go to the interior of people who don't have smicha. Lifnei, below Lifnei, Arkois. You're not allowed to go to the secular court. So just like going to Arkois is an Isser, so to go to a Bezdom Smuchim is also an Isser on the part of the had Yoitas at the Neutal Kisram Shalom Rishonim. Then number two, included in the Pasuk, Lifnei, below Lifnei had Yoitas, is that there's a psul, that if a person does not have smicha, he cannot serve as a member of the Bezdom. So apparently, the Ramban says, apparently you see from the Gemara that the psul is a function of the Isser. Whenever the Hadyotas are violating the Isser, Lefneim, Lefnei Hadyotas, so then the Bezin is possible. But if the Smuchim HaMoichel on the Kavod, So then the Hedyotas are not in violation of any Yisr, because the whole nature of the Yisr is Shelo Nitol Kisron Shel HaSmuchim, not to take the Keser HaTorah if you don't have Smicha. So there's an Yisr. So if there's Smuchim HaMoichel HaNekoved, so then there's no Yisr. Whenever there's no Yisr, so in a Mele there's no Psul. So that's how the Ran quotes from the Ramban. He's explaining why Shlich HaSayu does work Men HaTorah. That's the explanation that's given by the Chasam Sofer as well in the Tshuva. When it says shliach hasayir, it doesn't mean like I point a shliach to give a get to my wife. It's not a din of shliach. It's a din at the moichel on the kovet. Once the moichel on the kovet, the Tosis opinion is that the hayyotas can serve as members of the bezin men haTorah. What is the smicha all about bezman hazeh? So the Gemara has, in the days of the Tanaim, in the days of Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he introduced the din. The Gemara tells a story that there was a big Talmid Chacham who was giving a shiur, and he came from one section of Eretz Yisrael where they spoke Hebrew with one dialect. He was giving a shiur to the Balabatim in a different section in Eretz Yisrael with a totally different dialect, so they totally misunderstood what he said, and they were violating the din. They thought that he said, made bitzoyim, and he said, made beitzim. A different pronunciation. So Rebbe said, this is no good. Talmud al Yorah, he made a takana. No one should teach Torah. Talmud al Yorah, a person shouldn't be a Rebbe in a yeshiva. A person shouldn't be a rabbi in a shul. And kein noto v'shus meirab, unless he has permission from his Rebbe. And the Rebbe has to make sure that he speaks properly. Not just that he passes exams, written exams, and he knows how to write the answers well. He has to be able to articulate himself and to pronounce the language the way the Balabatim in this community speak the language. So that's a takana of Rebbe. That's a Talmud al Yorah came not to b'shus mi rabba. No one should pasken any shas. No one should teach any Torah. Talmud al Yorah really goes on teaching Torah. Person shouldn't teach Torah unless not to b'shus mi rabba. So b'zman hazeh, we already no longer have any smicha, but what we have today is imitation smicha. That's to satisfy the takana of Rebbe, that no one should pasken any shas. No one should teach any Torah unless he has b'shus mi rabba. I think this is the one and only place in the whole Avrachel to Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah quotes the Abar Banel. In Yeridei, in Hilchus Talmud Torah, said the Ramah quotes the Abar Banel, who writes, elementary, he didn't have to quote the Abar Banel. Everybody knows that the smicha b'zman hazeh is imitation smicha, that it's not the bona fide smicha, it's no longer Ish Mipiyash and Moshe Rabbeinu, we're giving smicha and chutzlots, the whole thing is not smicha. It's just to satisfy that Takon Rebbe, the Talmud al Yorah, and Keinot Rishus Mi Rabbi. That's why in Yiddish, instead of calling it smicha, they call it heter hayro, permission to pass. Talmud al Yorah, no one should pass in a not to rishus unless he has permission to pass. So that's why it's called heter hayro, rishus, not to rishus mei rabba. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Moikot, the third parak of Moikot, about what you're allowed to write on Chalamoid and what not. So the Mishnah says that igros harishus, you're permitted to write. What's igros harishus? So we usually assume Parshat Shad, a letter, how are you, how's everything doing, have a good Yantav. He's going to send a letter on Chol HaMoed, and the other fellow, he's going to receive a letter before Yantav, so he permitted to write Igros HaRishus. So the Mishnah Brura quotes in the Bir HaLacha that one of the Rishonim learns Pshat Igros HaRishus, written smicha. That they used to give Rishus, Yesh Lecha Rishus Ladun, Tamar al Yoram came not to Rishus Mei Rabba. You have to have permission to pass. So in the days of the Tanaim, they already used to give written smicha. The Gemara never appears anywhere. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Rishonim, some of the Goyim learn that that's pshat in the Mishnah in Moed Katan. You're permitted to write the written smicha on Chol HaMoed. Many years ago, when the Rabbinical Council of America was celebrating their 50th anniversary, that was a long time ago. I think it must have been over 20 years ago. So they asked me, I think it was in the mountains somewhere, some hotel, I forgot. So they asked me to give a shiur on smicha. So at the end of the shiur, I spoke about revoking smicha. So all of a sudden, everybody was paying attention at the end of the shiur. Did you say that again? They found out the most fascinating part. Yeah. The Achroidim talk about revoking smicha. The Malamed Lehoil has a tshuva where he says that there's a taisus in the first parak in Yuma. The Gemara talks about the Kohen Gadol who was fired. Mishnah and Harius. Someone mentioned Harius. Mishnah and Harius talks about a Melech who was demoted. He was fired. So how do you fire him? So Tosfos in the first parak in Yuma quotes the Yerushalmi. He's Mismana Bepeh. He's Mistalik Bepeh. Whoever appointed him has the ability to cancel the appointment. So if you need the Bez Nagadol to appoint a Kohen Gadol, or you need Echa Bakohanim, whoever, that's Taisus, I'm not sure who is the one who appoints the Kohen Gadol. Who's supposed to be the Melech is supposed to be appointed by the Sanhedrin. Whoever had the authority to appoint them, to give them the title, has the authority to revoke it. In Europe, the Easter sometimes revokes Smichas. In Germany, sometimes before the Second World War, I live in Washington Heights, so some of the old-timers told me years ago, these people are no longer alive, they told me years ago, they remember before the war, when the police would arrest the rabbi for starting up with little boys in shul, so the rabbanim felt it was a chilul Hashem, so they would revoke the smicha, they would make sure they wouldn't allow the rabbi to function as a rabbi, and they would publicly revoke the smicha. Or Lamed Lahoyle is talking, if the rabbi would take a position without a mechitza, with an organ or something like that, like reform, so they would revoke the smicha, even though he got an orthodox smicha, they would revoke the smicha. There is such a concept. The Rambam raises an issue. The Gemara tells us that, commenting on the pasuk in the end of Malach, "Ine nechu shalach lachem es Eliyahu Hanavi lefnei b'yom Hashem agadol v'anor." Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu Hanavi the day before the coming of the Melech HaMashiach. Eliyahu Hanavi is going to announce the coming of Mashiach. Where is he going to come? Where is he going to appear? So the Gemara says in Erevin, oh, he just learned Erevin. Mars says, in Erevin, he's going to appear to the Bez Nagadol. Where's the Bez Nagadol going to be? What Bez Nagadol? So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that when the end of the first Beis HaMikdosh, Esagolius goes to Shechina, that the Shechina was originally Ben Akruvim, on top of the Yarmen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Shechina left in 10 stages. So just like in the end of the Bais Rishon period, the Shechina left in 10 stages, Esek Golias Gol Sa Shechina, so too in the end of the Bais Sheni period, the Sanhedrin went into Golas in 10 stages. They left the Lishkas HaGosas, they went to Achanus, and they went to Yerushalayim, and they went different places. And the last few places they were floating around were Tveria, Tzipori, Shvaram, Usha, all in the Galil. Then the Gemara says, and we have a tradition, and the Rambam quotes this, we have a tradition, that just like every day, the members of the Bez Nagadol would sit in their office the whole day long, then they would go home. And then they would come back the next morning. And every day they would come back. So too, wherever they met last, in Tveria, Tzipori, somewhere in the Galil, there's a gap of 2,000 years, and then they'll reconstitute themselves. They'll have no one will be alive from the people who were there 2,000 years ago. They'll have gathered together a group of 70 Rabbanim somewhere in the Galil, and they'll reconstitute the smicha. That's why a few years ago, when they wanted to start over the Sanhedrin again, so they had 70 people meet in Tveri, I think, because that's what the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. They'll meet again somewhere over there. So the Rambam raises a question, but nobody has any smicha. So how is Eliyahu Navi going to appear in front of the Bez Nagadol if the members of the Bez Nagadol have to have smicha? Nobody has any smicha today. So how's anything going to start again? So the Rambam writes in three different places an original chiddush. He thinks that there must be such a thing as chiddush asmicha. Otherwise, the jig is up. Otherwise, the noma bez nagadol. So that's the end of the Jewish history. So the Rambam writes, Yeroy Ali, he writes in three different places that if all the chachmei Eretz Yisrael gather together, they confer smicha on someone, that would be considered a valid smicha. Because after all, the Rambam himself wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayos, as we mentioned before, why can smicha only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? Because it's not a private affair. I have smicha, I confer smicha to my Talmud. The one who gives smicha, the Bezen who gives the smicha, is representing all of Klal Yisrael. That's why it has to be dafke in Eretz Yisrael, because the concept of the tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz L'Eretz, you have yechidim. Everybody's yechidim. It's not considered Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam has this chiddush. We all know in the 1500s, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there were many Anusim who had worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. One who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayiv Kores. So, strictly speaking, the Rambam himself writes, there's no Kores if they threaten to kill you, unless you worship Avodah Zarah. So, you're honest, Rahman HaPatri, there's no punishment. No Chayiv Misa, no Chayiv Kores. You were supposed to be Moisa Nefesh. The din should have been Yehoreg Bal Yahweh. You shouldn't have worshipped Avodah Zarah. But the Rambam's opinion is that if you did worship Avodah Zarah, you're not chayav koris, you're not chayav misa, but not everybody agrees with the Rambam. So at that time, there were people, this was the motivation of renewing this smicha. There were people who had worshipped Avodah Zarah, and they felt very guilty, and they felt bad about the fact that the Chayiv Koros were having worshipped Avodah Zarah, Christianity. So they wanted to put together a bezin to give Malkus, and we paskan like the Tan in the end of Malkus, Chabi Krisu Shaloku Niftur Midei Krisus. If a person was Chayiv Koros and the bezin gave him Malkus, so he won't be punished with the Koros. One who worships Avodah Zarah never gets any Malkus. One who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayiv Misa. Whoever is Chayiv Misa, it's a lav shenitin lasaros misis bezin ein loikamal. Not supposed to be any Malkus. The whole thing is a pella. So they were working on the assumption this is going to be an ad hoc malchus. It's not according to the rules and regulations of whoever does an aver at sinvut of asaks mishabedisha. The Gemara says in Chumash Dvar Midarshin Smuchim. So these two psukim are one next to the other. It says asaks mishabedisha. You're not allowed to muzzle the animal when it's doing work, and it says right next to that v'hayon binakayis harosha. So I don't know which rosha deserves malchus and who doesn't deserve malchus. So all the Tanaim say, Yidarshin Smuchim, one pasuk next to the other, Chumash Dvarim, whoever violates an Aver, which is similar to Lasaksim Shabbadisha. So the love of Avodah Zarah is not similar to Lasaksim Shabbadisha. Lasaksim never gets Misa, and Avodah Zarah normally deserves Misa. So there should never be any Malkus for Avodah Zarah. So they were working on the assumption that Chai B'Krisu Shalaku, Nifturim, Midei Krisusim, doesn't have to be that you get the Malkus because you ate chametz with Pesach and you deserve Malkus. If you put together a bezin, and I'll give you a Malkus. There was no Hasroah when the Jews were worshipping Avodah Zarah to save their lives at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, the persecution. They were forcing all the Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. Who gave them Hasroah? There was no Hasroah. The whole story was that they wanted to give a Hirasha of Malkus, and they felt that would part of them from the chorus. So this was one of the motivations of the Rabbanim in Tzfat. Most of the Jewish community in Eretz at that time, the 1500s, lived in Tzfat. The minority of the Jews lived in Yerushalayim. The majority lived in Tzfat at that time. They say the water was polluted in Yerushalayim. It was healthier in Tzfat. So that's why most of them lived in Tzfat. That was one reason. Then another reason why they lived in Tzfat is because they had this tradition that the Sanhedrin will reconvene in the last location where they met. That's what the Rambam quotes from Gemara at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And all the last locations were Tveria, Tzipori, Shvara, Musha. Everything was over there in the Galil. So they thought they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Penei Moshiach Tzikeinu. Moshiach is going to be. Eliyahu Navi is going to appear in front of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is going to be reconstituted somewhere in the Galil. So they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Penei Moshiach Tzikeinu. But you can't have a Bez Nagar unless you have smicha, so the real is going to have to do the Chiddush HaSmicha. So they gathered together all the Rabbanim in Tzfat, and they decided to confer smicha. One of the lucky winners was Rabbi Yosef Karo. They gave him smicha. Another one or two people got smicha. Then 5 years later, they gave, I think the Al-Sheikh got smicha, a few other people got smicha, and then the whole thing conked out. Yeah. So at that time, Ablevi Ibn Chabiv lived in Yerushalayim. And he was very insulted. He was never invited to the smicha convocation. So he wrote a whole kuntres of smicha. They say that everything they did was null and void. So he said, the Rambam says, if you gather together all of Chachmei Yisrael, then you can confirm. You didn't gather together all of Chachmei Yisrael, didn't invite us. True, you have the Raif. The majority of the Rabbanim lived in Tzfat. He said, but to say Ruba Kukulai, Ruba Kukula, let's say, on Pesach night, you have a becher full of wine. So you say, Ruba Kukula, drink right, that place is good. But you don't say Ruba Kukula, you only have to fill it up right. No, you have to fill it up to the top, and then you drink right kais. So you have to invite all the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. Then if we'll have a disagreement whether we should confer smicha, so you say Ruba Kukula. If Raiva then will confer smicha, Rabbi Yosef Karo, maski. We'll have to give in. But you didn't even invite the miyut. You only had the right. So he said, the whole thing was null and void. Then he has another taina. He says that when you look in the Rambam, even though the Rambam explains what motivated him to come up with this Chiddush, that there's such a thing as Chiddush HaSmicha, he says, otherwise, why are you going to reconstitute the Sanhedrin if nobody has any Smicha b'zman hazeh? Nonetheless, when the Rambam writes it, if all the Rabbanim gathered together, he says they can confer Smicha, and the one who receives the Smicha has the ability to pass in Dini Knosis. He doesn't say he can give Malkus. He only says Dini Knosis. So he thinks that the whole motivation was in order to give Malkus to the people that worshipped Avodah Zarah. So he thinks that it's not legitimate. It's a problem because the whole Mahalakha of the Rambam was wondering how are we going to reconstitute the Sanhedrin. To reconstitute the Sanhedrin, you have to people with full smicha, not just smicha to be done in Iknas. But nonetheless, that's the lashon of the Rambam, that they'll have rishus. When all the Chachmei Yisrael gathered together, it sounds like it's a smicha lodon din Iknas. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered as a child, he visited a few times in Brisk. As a young child, he visited Rav Chaim only 4 or 5 times or something. The last year and a half of Rav Chaim's life, so he learned with them every day. We all learned together in Warsaw. But in the earlier years, he said he only visited a few times. He said on one occasion, and a few occasions, he spoke to Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the dayan in Brisk. He said he remembered as a child, it was fun to go around with Rav Simcha Zelig on Erev Shabbos to check the Erev. He says he used to tighten the string to make sure it shouldn't be sagging, but the Mishkan is Yankiv and Galantan Baloshin. Mishkan is Yankiv says a sagging Erev is no good. So he remembers as a child they would go around and check the Erev and tighten the string every week. And then he remembered a few things for Rav Simcha Zelig. So he said this was one of them. Rav Simcha Zelig had this deal in the Ram. They didn't realize that the Maral Bach, Rav Leib Chaviv already wrote this for Shas Meisen in the 1500s. That Rav Simcha Zelig had this deal in the Rambam that if you do Chiddush HaSmicha, it'll only be valid with respect to be done in Dina Knossos. And he said his grandfather Rav Chaim thought that the Diyuk was correct, that the whole story was a mistake, that they wanted to give smicha in order to be able to give Malkus, but to give Malkus you have to have real smicha yish mipiyish. The smicha of Kol Chachmei Yisrael gathering together, they thought was only valid with respect to Lodin Dina Knossos. Others, the Mishlan Melech raises another issue. Mishlan Melech has a little kuntris that's called Derech Mitzvei Secho, where it's printed in the back of the Sefer Mitzvahs LaHaRambam. So he writes, what are the differences between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Smagen and the Yilam Mitzvahs? What are they in the Ramban? What do they agree? What do they disagree? So he has in the little kuntris, Derech Mitzvei Secho, he points out that there's a machloikis between the Rambam and others, whether you can be done in a Malkus Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam writes explicitly, if you convene a bezin of 3 smuchim Bizman Hazeh, if you can gather together 3 smuchim Bizman Hazeh, they can be done in a Malkus even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. And the Smag writes not so, just like the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, Gemara Sanhedrin learns that from a Pasuk, that you cannot be done in the Foshes unless you have a Kohen Oivet, unless you have Kohanim being Makor Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Smag is of the opinion, then Malkus tachas miso emeres, then Malkus also requires a kohen oivet. So this man is out of the question. So that's the whole pella. How do they have a havamin in the first place to come for a smicha? The whole thing is such a mysterious story. They want to come for a smicha to give Malkus, that people should mechayiv chorus having worshipped Avodah Zarah. The whole thing is so strange. Anyway, so the whole thing died out. By the Svardim, they always follow Moran HaMechaber, they always follow Rabbi Yosef Karo, they ignore what everybody else says, so they say the reason why the Psak is always like Moran HaMechaber, because he was one of the lucky winners. He got smicha. So it's Min HaShamayim that his opinion should be the accepted opinion. The Gemara in the end of Bar Mitzia tells such a story, that when Rav and Shmuel were both leaving, they both learned by Rabbi Yudah Nosi, then they both left to Bavel to establish yeshivas, to be Barbitz Torah Barabim. So Rav got smicha. That's why we call him Rav. That wasn't his real name. And Shmuel, every day something else came up and he didn't get smicha, and the boat was leaving, so he had to leave and he never got smicha. Once he left the bubble, so he couldn't get any smicha. So he felt bad about it. Rabbi Ranasi felt bad why he never was able to give smicha to Shmuel. So one of the people told Rabbi Ranasi, don't feel bad about it. That's what it says in Sifra Shalodim Arishim. It says in Parashas Bereishis, Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So the simple translation of Pasuk sounds like the Chumash is a history book of mankind. Zeh Sefer told us Adam. The Chumash is a history book of mankind, pretty shvach history book. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean that. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishon, when he created Adam Arishon, he showed him a book that's called Sifra Shel Adam Arishon, which lists off the whole development of mankind, what's going to be in the future, and the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And in that book it has everything written. So it says in that, they told Rebbe, he says in that book, there's going to be a generation when there's going to be 2 Talmid HaChachamim, one is going to get smicha, one is not going to get smicha. Rav is going to get smicha, Shmuel won't get smicha. So the Rebbe shouldn't feel bad. This was already ordained from day number one. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon, that was the plan. So the Marsha has a comment on that Gemara. What's the significance of Shmuel not getting smicha? Al Kain Bos, but he was very successful where he was. Rabbi Shmuel, each one, they lived in two different cities. Each one had a successful yeshiva. They were both Marbitz Torah Barabbim. So the Marsha says, maybe that's why the halacha is Hilchasa Kerabbi Yisuri, because Rab had smicha. And Shmuel didn't have smicha. Maybe that's why we don't pass like him in Yisuri the head. But the Gemara says, Hilchasa Kishmuel Bedini. What did he do then? I don't know. So that's what the Svardim have, this tradition, that the reason why they always stick to Moran HaMechabe, because Moran Rav Yosef Kara got the smicha when they were giving out the smicha in the 1500s. So it must have been Min HaShemayim that they follow his opinions. As I said in the beginning, I feel very, very moved to participate in today's simcha. It's quite a simcha. When the Balabatim recognize that the rabbi is such an outstanding Talmid Chacham, it's quite a simcha. I remember when Dr. Liam had to step down, he said it's too difficult for him to take out his kishkes. So they had a search committee to try to find a new president. So the chairman on the board at that time was Mr. Berin. It was right before 9/11, I remember. So he wanted to meet with the Rabbanim and the Yeshiva to hear what we input. So as it turns out, he met with me, and then it was 9/11. And then 9/11 was before, the day before or something. And that was the end. He didn't meet with any other Rebbe. Remember, at that time I said, I don't understand. If I would step down now, if I would retire from being the head of the Kollel, I have 10 people who can fill my spot. Better than me. I have Talmidim who have advanced way past where I was at their age. And the president didn't prepare someone else to take over. Rabbi Leibowitz was one of those 10 people, for sure. He at his young age, he said, the Gemara has an expression, Tzurvim in the Rabbanim. Tzurvim Rabbanim means a young Talmid Chacham younger than 40. Because you're not supposed to pass Mashalim until you reach the age of 40. Tzurvim Rabbanim is a technical term that means a young Talmid Chacham, I don't know how old he is. Tzurvim Rabbanim, a young Talmid Chacham. So I feel embarrassed that the Rabbi Kamenetsky and Rabbi Leibowitz, they consider me, they have already far surpassed what I was doing at their age. And I continue, both of them, I wish both of them continued Hatzlocha and Habotzes Hatera. We should continue to have a lot of nachas for more than Baruch.
Thank Rav Schechter for honoring our Rebbe. It's very, very difficult to buy Sfarim for Rabbi Leibowitz, which is the appropriate gift for an occasion like this. But I tried last week to buy a Sefer that had been out, I think, for 2 days. Rabbi Leibowitz already had it, he had already read it, and used it in his Shir the Shabbos. So instead, this entire event was the brainchild of Yanki Mikli, so I want to call Yanki for a special presentation to the rabbi.
On behalf of the entire community, thank you very much, everyone, Rabbanim especially, but the entire community for coming. Tremendous honor for all of us to have such a large crowd on Memorial Day morning. Most of us should be in our sandals and flip-flops and barbecuing, but we're here learning Torah. It's an amazing thing, and especially about Rabbi Leibowitz. Just a brief word of how this started. I was flipping through YU Torah, and I saw, wow, Rabbi is pretty close to 3,000. Derek Jeter just had a moment or 3,000, which everyone celebrated greatly. So wouldn't it be funny if? And that was it. And I mentioned it to a few people, and everyone got very excited. Any chance we have to be Mechabed or Leibowitz, we're all tremendously taken aback from what we wanted to do. And that's how it started rolling. And everyone just did their little part. Garvey did a tremendous amount. I think he did more than anybody else by far and away. But everyone just did their part, and I think that's a lot of what YUTorah.org is about. It's shiurim that are available to everyone at any time for whatever level they want. You have a few minutes for a shiur, there's time for it. I'll be in the kitchen on a Thursday night preparing something for Shabbos, and I'll put a shiur on. I'm in the car driving to work, I'll put a shiur on. It's always available on every level. You're not in the mood for a deep iyun shiur, there's plenty of ashkafa on there. You can sit and accomplish something in depth wherever you are in the world. There's always something available to you, and it's a tremendous platform to be able to be Marmitz Torah. And again, the most of Mashiach are quickly approaching. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us more and more opportunities to be able to learn Torah. When they translated the Art Scroll, so it was such a big thing. It made Shas available to everybody, to every level. Just more and more things are available. It's a tremendously humbling time that we're in today. But again, just on a lighter note, as the idea was spawned from the idea of 3,000. Why he was why he was given a jersey to Rabbi Leibowitz with number 3,000. Why you? Did you put it on tonight? And as well as the Northwood Air Community sponsored YU Torah, which is available to everybody as well. Again, just being Marvin Torah to the entire world is a tremendous opportunity. Thank you very much.
I'm not usually short on words, but I'm just so completely overwhelmed by everything that that everyone is doing. I'm glad my kids would believe that I played on the YU baseball team. It was very, very helpful. But just to express a little bit of Hakaras HaTov, and it's just a tiny drop of Hakaras HaTov to Mori Haravid El Kamenetsky for everything he's done throughout all the years, inspiring me to learn Torah, to teach Torah, giving me the ability and a place to teach Torah. And Mori Harabi Harav Adon of Shechter Shlita, who gave me Rov Tarasi and is a continued inspiration to all of Klal Yisrael, particularly to our community. And just very much thank him for taking the time to come here and to share his Divrei Torah that Esmechem Kinesinasu Misina here with us this morning. And of course, Hakaras HaTov to the Talmidim, to the Balabatim, to the Chashuva Rabbanim that have come, Dov Willig, Rav Shai Shechter, I'm sure there are others, I don't see Rav Aryeh Yudin, so everyone who came out. And we should always be Zocha to celebrate Torah with Torah. We should always, that's the proper way to celebrate Torah. We should always remember that if we celebrate, we're not celebrating someone doing his job and just giving shiurim. The fact is that my job is to give shiurim because there are people that want shiurim, and that's the ultimate celebration, that there are people that are in the Vakshe Torah, and we should always be able to celebrate together with Torah. Thank you.